الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، الله سبحانه وتعالى said: وإذا جاء أجله لا يستأخرون ساعة ولا يستقدمون. And Allah سبحانه وتعالى also said: قل يتوفاكم ملك الموت الذي وكل بكم ثم إلى ربكم ترجعون. In the surah that we recited, Surah Sajda, in the first rakat today, Alhamdulillah. My brothers and sisters, I want to remind myself and you to reflect on this question: what if I die now? Among the things I teach, we do something called scenario planning. And in scenario planning, we do what is called what-if analysis. We look at different possibilities and we say, what if this happens and what if that happens? And in that possibility analysis, we also do what is called probability analysis, which is, what is the probability of this thing happening? So if I say, what if this? For example, supposing we say that we are going to pray Salatul Eid in this masjid, this Eid al-Adha, then the what if analysis will go to say, what if it rains? And then the probability analysis has to say, what is the probability of it raining on that particular day? Now, if you say, well, the probability, what if it rains, we will put up, waterproof tents. But if you say that the probability of rain is negligible, it's almost non-existent, then we say that this is a possibility that we don't really need to worry about, because it is highly unlikely that it will rain. Now, my question is, what if I die now? What if it is decreed that I am not to leave this masjid walking, that I am to be taken out of this masjid and you are going to carry me out of this masjid? What if I die now? What is the state in which I will meet my Rabb? Seriously, my brothers and sisters, we have to take a decision. And that decision is this book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is this book true or not? Let us seriously ask ourselves this question. The writer of the book said, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ. He said that this book is, in which there is no doubt. He said the book is true. But do we believe that? Do we really believe that this Kalam of Allah, that this Quran al-Kareem is actually true? Because if we believe that, then this must reflect in our actions. And therefore, the ayat which I recited for you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَإِذَا جَاءَ أَجَلُهُ لَا يَسْتَأْخِرُونَ سَعَةً وَلَا يَسْتَقْدِمُونَ, that when the time for death comes, it will not be delayed and it will not be brought forward. Now, the question is, if I really and seriously believe that, and if I really and seriously believe that Malakul Maut has been set on me and that I will return to my Rabb, the question I have to ask myself is, in what state do I want to return to my Rabb? When I am brought back to my Rabb, do I want to be standing in front of Him and be declared an enemy of Allah? Do I want to be standing in front of Him and be declared as somebody who accepted a declaration of war from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Do I want to stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and be declared that here is a man who was a fasiq and a fajir, who deliberately disobeyed you, Ya Rabbal Alameen, who deliberately decided to do things against what you ordered? Do I want to stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and be counted and say, Ya Rabbal Alameen, here is a man who tried his best, he did whatever he could do. Maybe he was successful in something, maybe he was not successful in some things. He also committed some sins, but he made tawbah, and oh Allah, forgive him, and oh Allah, cover him with His mercy. Which one do we want to be in? I want to give you two examples, thoughts, two instances that come to my mind. Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen rahmatullah alayh had been detected with cancer, and after they did all the tests and so on, they said to him that he has to undergo chemotherapy. Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen asked them, he said, what is the effect of chemotherapy? They said, Shaykh, one of the effects of chemotherapy is that your hair will fall off. He said, what about my beard? They said, your beard will also fall off. So he said, in that case, I will not do chemotherapy. Let my Rabb decide to cure me if He wants to cure me, but I do not want to stand before my Rabb without my beard. Now my question is, did Al-Uthaymeen rahmatullah alayhi, did he know fiqh or not? Did he know, was he a mufti or not? or am I a mufti? Do we not know that it is permissible for us to take medical treatment? And do we not know that in the course of that medical treatment, if your beard falls off, there is no problem? It is not that the man is deliberately shaving his beard and destroying the sunnah of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. This is something which happens as a part of a life-saving treatment that he has to undergo. It is perfectly acceptable, it is perfectly jais and perfectly halal for him to undergo chemotherapy. And in that process, if his beard falls off, then there is no sin on him whatsoever. Still, the man goes beyond from fatwa, he goes to a level of taqwa, where he says that irrespective of all of these fatwa, I know the law, but I don't want to meet my Rabb in a state where I do not have a beard, where I'm not following the sunnah of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. 3 days later, Al Uthaymeen passed away. Now, obviously, in three days, he was not going to be cured of that cancer anyway. That was the time of his death. The time of his death had been decreed, but he decided how he wanted to die. And this is the point that I want to make. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decreed the time of our death, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala left it in our hands to decide how we want to die. Do we want to die in a state of obedience, or do we want to die in a state of disobedience? The dalil for this is that's the reason why suicide is haram in Islam. Why is suicide haram, and why is there a punishment for suicide? Because it has been given into our control. If you want to die in a state of disobedience, you can do that, but there is a price to pay. If you want to die in a state which is haram, you can do that, but there is a price to pay. So we have been given, the time of death is fixed, but how we want to die has been given into our control. So we can choose to die in a state of obedience, or we can choose to die in a state of disobedience. Now, imagine, say, second instance that comes to my mind is the instance about the best of the best, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He is passing away. Imagine the state of his wife, Sayyida Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha. It is not just a matter of a woman's husband dying. Who is this woman and who is that husband? What is that? What is their state? And subhanallah, she is a young woman. Her husband is passing away. And who is the husband? It is Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He asks her, he is in a state of naza. He is losing consciousness, he is gaining consciousness. He says, "Oh Aisha, is there any money in the house? Do you have any money, wealth in the house, gold and silver?" She said, "Ya Rasulullah, there are some dirhams." He said, "Bring it here." She brings them. He says, "Give it away. Give it away in sadaqah." She obviously intends to do that, but imagine that state, and obviously she forgot. So when he comes back into consciousness, he's asked, "Oh Aisha, did you give that money away?" She said, "Ya Rasulullah, I will give it away. I have not given it away yet." He says, "Bring it here." She brings the money. She says, put it in my hand." She puts it in his hand. He shows her hand with the money in it, and he said, "Oh Aisha, how would it be for the Nabi of Allah to meet his Rabb in this state?" SubhanAllah, I mean, just think about this. Was that money haram? Is he saying that because the money is haram? Is he saying that because it is a sin to leave behind tarka? If it is a sin to leave behind inheritance, then why do we have inheritance laws? Right? It's not a sin. We can leave behind, alhamdulillah, if we provide for the family, we leave behind things, nothing wrong. But the Nabi of Allah is the Nabi of Allah. He's setting a standard which cannot be bettered, where he says, when I die, how will it be if I die in this state that I meet my Rabb with money in my hand? He said, give it away in sadaqah. We have tawakkul on Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will provide. We don't want to have any tawakkul alal asbab. We do not want to even have the semblance of that. Subhanallah, I remind myself and you, how do we want to die? What is the state in which we want to die? Is this book of Allah true or is it not true? What if I die now? Ask this question. Do you want to stand before Allah and for it to be declared, "Oh Allah, here is a man, here is a woman who accepted your declaration of war. Here is your enemy. Oh Allah, this person is going to fight you." Do you want that? Those who are indulging in interest-based loans, those who are indulging in interest dealings, think about that. Because that is the state that you will be resurrected in, and that is the state that you will stand before Allah, declared as the enemies of Allah, declared as people who accepted the declaration of war by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What hope is there of being forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Why do we want to die in this state? Is this the state we want to die in? Or is it that our probability analysis tells us, because it comes from shaitan, that we will not die. Is that what it is? What if our reasoning, what if reasoning, I began by telling you that scenario planning, what is the scenario plan that we have for our death? What is the scenario plan that we have to say that if I die now, because that scenario plan depends on the probability analysis. What? How probable is it that I will die? What is my thought about that? How probable is it with that I die? Or is it that I am saying that, no, it's not probable at all. I'm not going to die, so I can do whatever I want. There's no problem because I will not die. Which one is it? I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to remove the nifaq from our hearts. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to put us in a situation where what we have on our tongues and what we have in our hearts and what our actions, there is congruence between them. There is no difference between them, because the difference is a sign of nifaq. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not to put us among those who when we are brought before Him, will be declared as His enemies, will be declared as people who deliberately disobeyed Him. Don't worry about this issue of shaitan. This is also from shaitan. Shaitan will come and say, oh, but you know, you will never be in a state where you would like to meet Allah. You will never be in a state where you are fit to meet Allah. Forget about that. It's not a question of whether you will be in that state or not. Let us work in a way where we are in a state where, inshallah, we will deserve the mercy of Allah. Let us be among those who, if we commit sin, immediately we make tawbah, immediately we turn around, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us that opportunity to make tawbah. Make tawbah right now. Give up whatever disobedience that you are in, that you and I are engaged in. Let us give it up, because we do not know whether we will live one second more or not. So do not delay in that. Immediately. And this is a sign of taqwa. Rasulullah said, the muttaqi is the one who, if he commits a sin, then that sin sits on his head like a huge rock. And immediately he makes tawbah. Instantly he makes tawbah. Read the ayat of Surah An-Nisa, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talked about the people whose tawbah is accepted and those whose tawbah is not accepted. The tawbah of the one who is accepted is the one who makes tawbah immediately, as soon as he becomes aware that he has committed a sin. And the tawbah of the one who is not accepted is the one who keeps on delaying and waits and waits and asks for time. Adam alayhi salam immediately made tawbah. Rabbana zalamna anfusana wa illam taghfir lana wa tarhamna lanakunanna min al-khasirin. Whereas Iblis, he asked for time. He said, give me time. Ila yawmi yubathun. He said, anzirni ila yawmi yubathun. Give me time until you resurrect them. One is in the Jannah. The other one is in the hellfire. Let us save ourselves from the hellfire. Let us decide this kalam of Allah is true. And if the kalam of Allah is true, then what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said is true, that one day we will stand before Him and we will meet Him. And therefore ask this question: what if I die now? What is the probability? And if I believe, alhamdulillah, we believe this, that if I believe that my probability of my death is very, very high, that I will certainly die, that I might die right now, then let us straighten our lives right now. Do not wait even for 1 minute more. Straighten the life right now, because if you don't straighten the life right now, then it gives a lie to what we are saying with regard to the belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the belief in our death. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us and to be pleased with us and to save us from ourselves and to save us from the shaitan and to enable us to make tawbah and to accept our tawbah and to enter us into Jannah bi ghayri hisab. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa ashabi ajmain bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin wa alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.